How's it going, everyone? Oh, yeah, nice. Thank you. Everyone hates interactive church. It's just a thing. I don't know why I keep trying. Steve keeps trying in the morning, and I sometimes give him a yeah, and then he's like, yeah, the one person, same thing. So we're starting a new series today. It's called Who's Crown? And we're going to be just looking at the idea of that we need to be crowning Jesus with everything that we are and everything that we do. That's like the simplest way to break it down. And today we're going to kind of introduce that idea and talk about it. So as I was thinking about this crown and this idea, the first story that came to my mind was one when I was playing baseball when I was probably in sixth grade. I was in sixth grade. And this is a little bit of an embarrassing story. But so I'm in sixth grade, and my team we're decent. And my dad's the coach. And your dad being the coach can go one or two ways. I always got it harder, for sure. But playing baseball, and I love baseball. It's my favorite thing to do. I think I'm going to be an MLB player because I'm still 12 or 13 and don't realize that's not going to happen. But I'm pursuing that, and I think in my head, like, it's a possibility, right? And I'm on the B team. I didn't even make the A team. So, not, like, illusions of grandeur. And we're playing in a tournament, and I was pitching. And then the game didn't go as according to plan. I think we ended up winning the game, but I pitched horribly. And I got pulled by my dad, and just a bad scene. And I was, like, upset, and he told me, he's like, you were noticeably upset. Like, the rest of the game, you had a bad attitude, and, like, typical dad coach things, dad slash coach. And I'm in the car and afterwards, and I'm, like, so bummed out and so mad that I, like, start tearing up and whining about it, and super cool 13-year-old thing to do. And then I like, pretty much am, like, I'm, like, crying and whining and crying and whining, and then my dad turns around or turns to me and says, "That's enough of that." And you guys ever get that from your dad? Like, a no. "You're not doing that. My son will not cry at 13. 3 was embarrassing. This is just ridiculous." And but we're in the car, so it's not in public at least. And he says to me, he says, "You're, first of all, baseball is not the end of the world. You need to chill out." He didn't say, "Secondly, you're not that good." But I wish he did, because now it'd be funny. But then he said this, and my dad was not an idle threat dad. Some people's dads are like, "Oh, throw out this threat," or my mom was a little bit easier going. My dad was like, if you don't stop acting like this, you're never gonna play baseball again. I'm not gonna drive you, you're not gonna play." And we're, like, in the middle of a tournament, in the middle of the summer, so there's still lots to play. And I'm like, oh, whoa. I think I, like, on my tear ducts immediately, like, seized up and was like, "No, that can't happen. I have to play baseball." And what I was doing was I was taking on all these, like, selfish things and putting everything on myself. And I was, like, one of the better players on the team, so I was, like, counting on myself really heavily, and I was like, "I want to be MVP of the tournament," and I want to, like, all these, like, things where I was striving for things for myself. Striving for all these things that weren't really what being on a team is all about. And certainly not what Jesus would want me to be doing. And as I studied what it is, what the crown it means in the New Testament and the Old Testament, there's these two crowns that are talked about. There's one crown that is your classic, exactly what we think of. It's like that, like, ornate, like, kind of like that, but full of jewels and gold, right? And it's, like, giant, and, like, the person's head probably, if they turn a little bit, it's like, "Oh, I'm falling over." It's like that, right? It's this big crown, and that would be called the diadem. And in the Old Testament, they refer to the diadem as, like, a crown of royalty. But then one thing that we see used frequently in the New Testament is this thing called a Stephanos. And that is a wreath-like crown. And it would actually be given to people who are victorious in competitions. It would be given to people who have won something, who have gained a crown, which, like, some people say, oh, they crowned him the winner of the race, right? Like, that's where it comes from. It's this idea that you're crowning people with these wreaths, and they'd be, like, kind of, like, ornate-looking, but mostly, like, natural. And it sounds like a hippie thing, but this was, like, a super, like, honorable thing to be wearing, and everyone would know that you won. And the one used most of the time in the New Testament is this type of crown. It's this Stephanos. It's this victory crown. And so frequently, when I think of a crown, I just think of the crazy metal one, right? But the one that comes up in Hebrews and the other text that we're going to talk about are the crown of victory. And so it says in Hebrews 2:5-9, "For it was not to the angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere. What is man," this is from Psalms, "what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." And then the passage continues talking about what this means and what it looks like. And then in verse 14, it talks about, it says this, it says, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." A lot of death there. Jesus was crowned the victor over death. On the cross, Jesus overcame death through dying on the cross and being resurrected. He overcame death and was crowned not only the king of all the earth, because he already ruled all the earth, but he was also crowned the victor over all of death. And he defeated that so that we wouldn't have to encounter that. And interestingly enough, the crown of thorns given to Jesus, they write on the inscription, "the king of the Jews." Kind of mockingly, not kind of, they're mocking Jesus with that title. But what's really interesting is that by giving him this crown of thorns, this thing that you can tell his humanity is all over it, right? Like he's bleeding from his head. At the same time, they're almost giving him the pre-coronation of a victory crown by giving him this wreath, this Stephanos. The crown of thorns. And so what the soldiers are in effect doing on that day at the cross is crowning Jesus' glory upon his head by claiming his victory over sin. They didn't know that. But that's what they're doing. And so how does this apply to us, right? You're like, oh, that's cool. I like that. Yeah, Jesus was crowned, and he declared victory over death and sin. And then he made it available to all of us to be able to partake in his amazing grace. He gifted us access to him and the ability to live life eternally and life to the full here on earth through this victory. Through this crowning. But we have to decide where we want the crown to go in our lives. And by that crown, I mean we have to decide what takes victory over our lives. In accepting this life, the life of Jesus, we aren't just saying, God, I'm giving over part of me to you. We're saying, God, I give over victory of my entire life to you so that you might live in me. Jesus says this in John 12, 25 and 26, those who love their life in this world will lose it, and those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. If we're worried about what we want to hold on to in this life, and if we're worried about, it can be anything, and we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff throughout this series, whether it's finances and materials, whether it's our time and things that are resources and we want to hold on to them, or it's something like our pride and all of the other things that might get in the way of us honoring Jesus. We have to decide if we want to hold on to those things. And we want to, really, what we're doing is we're pretending that we're in control. But really, we've given over control to the enemy, to the devil. We've given him over control to our lives so that he might have his way in our life in some of those areas. But when we give ourselves over to Jesus, we lay everything at his feet and declare his victory and his rule and reign in our lives. It isn't an easy task. And what we understand from the model of Jesus is that it's not always going to be this great victory where we win everything and we get everything because we've given it all over to Jesus. What we understand by seeing the way that he was crowned and the way that he gained victory is through suffering and sacrifice and surrender. And so taking up the cross of Jesus and letting him fill our lives and saying, you have my everything and you have victory in my life, there's going to be tough times. And there's going to be times where it's not the cool thing to do, where we have to go against something that people are saying at work or at school, and where we are really feeling like an outsider. But an understanding that Jesus' life is far more important to be living in us than anything physical and here. It has eternal implications. And James actually talks about this crown that we're all going to get. He says, blessed is the man or woman who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. And this crown of life is a Stephanos. It's this victory crown that we are given once we understand that we have to follow Jesus with everything that we have and everything that we are. And then God, because he knows that we love him, will crown us, and we will live life eternally. So because of that, some people think that we can just sit by and not do a lot and just hold on. I've heard the term, hold on for heaven. I'm just holding on for heaven. I'm just waiting until I get to heaven. I already know Jesus. I already love Jesus. I'm really working at giving him my everything. But what we need to understand is that we have to strive in this life as well, because it's a constant battle. The enemy is working tirelessly to win us over. He is looking for victory. He does not want you to have that crown. He does not want you to crown Jesus. He wants, with everything that he is, to bring us away as far as he can from God and his love. And he'll use any trick to do that. He'll use failings or falling outs with people or miscommunications or times when people are just the worst. And he wants to bring us away from that because he wants to claim victory on our lives. It's a constant, constant battle. And like I said, this physical realm, the spiritual realm is the greater reality, because that's where the war for our souls and our hearts and our minds is being won or lost. And we need to choose if we want to surrender everything to him, to Jesus. We have the choice to crown him, to declare his victory in our lives. So, baseball tournament reconvenes. My dad scolds me, and I start having a better attitude. We go into the next game, and it went okay, and we won. And then we keep playing the tournament, and we make it into the finals, which, like, that's it was sweet. And then we're down in the finals, top of the final inning, 6-2, and there's two outs. And guess who comes up to the plate? Oh, yeah, thanks. I was nervous. But I remember going up to the plate. I distinctly remember this. And looking back, I need to thank my dad for the lesson he taught me. But I went up to the plate being like, okay, I'm nervous. I'm freaked out. I really don't want to fail. But at the same time, this is baseball. And I need to let go of all those ideas of grandeur and just release myself into just knowing that I love baseball. And it's fun. It's called a game. And so I went up to the plate, and first pitch comes, and I swung, and I missed. Whew. Nothing like getting down in a count early. And then the next pitch comes, and I hit the ball, and I don't know where the ball went. I still don't know to this day, but I ran to first. And let me tell you, that was probably the best hit I've ever had. And it was a single, and it felt so good, and it was this relief. But then I realized, it doesn't matter that I just got a single. We need a lot of singles here. And so my team starts putting on the rally caps. We're like, yeah, we're in this. We're in this. We got a guy on. They didn't have that deep of voice because they're all like 11 and 12 year olds. They're like, yeah, we're in this. Oh, yeah, go get him. Yeah, Ben. And I was exceptionally small for my age, so I probably had the highest pitch voice. Late puberty over here. And then what happened was, nobody got a big hit, but we got a single, and then a single, and then a single, and then a single. And before we knew it, we were winning 8-6 with two outs. And then the bottom of the inning came. The other team scored one run, so it was like one of those real nail biters. And all the crazy baseball parents were all yelling stuff. And then we won the game. And it was sweet. No. And the real lesson I learned wasn't that you win baseball games. The real lesson I learned is that I need to give stuff over, and I need to not worry so much, and I need to make sure I know where my priorities are. And in the same way, we need to make sure that we're giving over all of our earthly and fleshly desires to Christ. And we need to say, God, I'm getting rid of these. You defeated these on the cross so that I might live life to the full here on earth and life eternal. If I would have lost that baseball game, I still would have learned that lesson. If I would have struck out there, it would have been awful and not nearly as fun of a story. But it's just baseball. And there's some things that we worry about, and that the enemy tries to get a hitch in us and tries to hang on in our lives, and we give over to him and we let him gain victory in, that Jesus just wants us to release. And there's far bigger things that the enemy is trying to get footholds in. He's trying to get us with depression and with with death, in the, a death in the family, or a sickness, or something that's really been bothering you, or maybe it's something as hard as like trying to get into nursing school. I know it's crazy. The enemy is trying to gain footholds everywhere he can. But we need to know that we need to crown Jesus. We need to declare his victory and then live that out. Because Paul said this, he said, "It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me." He's like dying to himself so that Christ might live through him, so that God might be glorified, so that this glory and honor that Jesus lived out and was crowned with might be seen through our actions and our life, and in our, we might feel it in our being. Because God and the spiritual things are the greater reality, the eternal reality. Don't let the enemy win the day. Know who to crown the victor. And when you catch the enemy trying to sneak in, because it's not always going to be just like this blatant thing, right? It's going to be little things that get at you where he starts making gaps. Make sure you have people keeping you accountable and looking out for things. And if you catch him, claim it for what it is. Call it out for what it is. Tell him, you know what? I have Jesus, and he's the one who has victory in my life. Know where your victory is found. And when you look at the question, whose crown, you know the answer. It's Jesus.